This is a Triple J podcast.
Prescription pills, it was alcohol, it was ice, it was G.
That may be the view of young people, it's not the view of our government.
If I don't meet a girl, it's pretty hard to tell her that I'm uncontactable.
To connect, to have a good time, to dance it off like nobody's watching.
This is going
to
have an effect for generations to come.
Hack. All right, another week. Another shake-up. I'm Dave Marchese. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's not mess around here. We've got headlines. We've got personalities. All we are missing is your opinions. Here is a taste of what's coming up.
Hack. The Tesla owner is already the world's richest man, and now he could be the world's first trillionaire.
Having a boyfriend simply does make a girl less cool.
I don't think the answer here is to make cigarettes cheaper for people. I think the answer here is to get better at compliance.
On Triple J.
Oh, yeah. Later we're getting into this debate that's been playing out online. Is having a boyfriend embarrassing? Big question. Let's broaden it out a little bit. Is having a partner a little passé? I don't know. No longer desirable. Are you a bit self-conscious about being in a relationship? You don't want to talk about it. You try to hide it. Don't post as much as you used to on social media. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on this one. Message in 0439 757 555. We're going to get to that chat soon because I know there are big opinions. We've already been hearing them on Hack's Instagram all afternoon. But now let's meet the shake-up crew. Journalist, presenter, Elfie Scott. Hello.
Hi, Dave.
What's going on?
Oh, not too much. Good. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Good topics this week. You're happy with the mix in the news?
Dave, I'm in the middle of a very long work week. I have no concept of what these topics are, but we will get through.
Elfie 2 seconds ago says, what are we talking about again? I'm like, you're about to find out in about half a minute. So stick with us, Elfie, and stick with us, all of you. How are you feeling about the state of the world this Friday?
Always. Fairly mild.
Okay, fairly mild, subdued. A fair enough response. Many would say the same, I would have to say. Let's meet our other shake-up guest for this week. It's crime reporter at the Sydney Morning Herald, Perry Duffin. Hello.
G'day, Dave. How are you?
Are you also feeling a bit muted when it comes to judging the state of the world right now?
No, I'm pumped. It looks good out
there. Oh, okay, good. It's good. Just checking.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You've been busy. You can just Google Perry Duffin news and lots of articles come up this week.
Endless. I mean, like, it's been too much almost because I'm not that good at working.
You're like, I wish it could have been a bit of a lighter. Yeah. Should I tell people the big news about our discovery recently, Perry?
Please.
Elfie, I don't know whether you've heard this, but one night Perry and I were hanging out and we were doing some research and we came to the conclusion that we could be cousins.
I have heard this.
Have you heard that?
Yes, I'm
thrilled. I told everyone.
There's really no evidence. There's kind of a common surname about 7,000 years down the track, but I was like, that's it, we're cousins.
You don't look dissimilar.
We don't. Two ginger Italians.
Yeah.
It could be.
I mean, there can't be that many of us, can there?
If you are also a ginger Italian, we'd love to hear from you right now. 0439 757 555. Hey, we've got so much to get into, so let's go.
Hack. On the 2025 CEO Performance Award to our founder and CEO, Elon Musk, with over 75% voting in favor. Approved.
On Triple J.
Oh, listen to that applause. We knew it was coming. Now it's finally been approved. Elon Musk's record-breaking pay deal that could make him the world's richest man. Well, no, he's already the world's richest man. The world's richest man by far, far, far. A trillionaire. So what do we think about trillionaires entering the chat?
Hack. Is Elon Musk worth $1 trillion?
75% of Tesla shareholders voted in favor of Elon Musk getting a $1 trillion pay package.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that's not a bad payday.
I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I want Elon Musk controlling a robot army.
If you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire? Give your money away.
What we're about to embark upon is not merely a new chapter of the future of Tesla, but a whole new book.
On Triple J.
Yeah, I want to know what you make of Elon Musk potentially becoming the world's first trillionaire. His pay deal has got the sign-off from Tesla shareholders. Do you think this is fair enough? If he's able to continue to grow the company, live up to all the expectations, he should get the money. Or the idea of a trillionaire makes you feel a little bit sick. Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in too, 0439 757 555. A lot of people saying what Elon should be spending his fortune on as well. That's been covered quite a bit in the media this week. I want to know, if you had the money, $1 trillion, what would you spend it on? Hearing from you on Instagram now, someone says, no, I don't like this. Inconceivably more wealth than people realise. The power of nations in one man. Emily says, where is the ghost of Christmas past? The natural predator of trillionaires. And Luke says, if I had a trilly, I'd want to keep it. Okay, fair enough, Luke. Maybe you agree. Let me know. This is The Shake-Up. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the news of the week with journalists Elfie Scott and Perry Duffin. Elfie, this new pay deal means Elon's earning a tiny, tiny, tiny bit more than you. Is that right?
No. I hate to break it to you. This is just a cute hobby.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What do you think? Trillionaire, yes or no?
Oh, it's gross, isn't it? It's gross and I hate it.
You don't like it?
No, obviously not. Like, there is no justification for this whatsoever. Like, a person cannot be worth that money. I'm sorry.
Okay, Perry, what are your thoughts on this one when you saw the news come through?
I'm just glad that we made a trillionaire out of objectively the coolest guy that humanity has to put up. That's so good that we picked Elon. He's so funny and cool. Wow.
A lot of people think it. A lot of people think it. I mean, to get the money, he has to meet these performance targets at Tesla, right? Like, he has to increase the company's valuation by 500%, deliver more than 20 million electric vehicles to the market over the next decade. It's not going to be easy, Elfie. Do you think if he does manage to do that, maybe he should get the money?
No, but also I think it's highly unlikely when they keep blowing up.
Oh, okay, the Teslas.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there's been some issues with the Teslas. They're kind of veering more into AI now. They're like, oh, forget the electric vehicle stuff. We're going in a different direction now. How do you comprehend what $1 trillion is, Elfie? Like, if you hear that figure, do you feel like you have a grasp on just how much money that is?
How many packets of, like, bulldog ramen is that? That's my only measure of wealth.
It's 12 zeros, just so you know. So
I can't even comprehend that.
Okay.
I've barely seen two in my bank account.
Someone on the text line says, what you could do with $1 trillion versus what he will do with $1 trillion. Scary. Stuff. Yeah, Perry, do you feel like you can understand the full scale of $1 trillion?
No, absolutely not. I don't think it's a real number. Like, I'm sort of skeptical that it exists at all.
Do you think I should have just been like $1 bajillion?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. Like, a Brazilian, it's all fine. Like, assumedly, how many houses can you buy in Sydney with that? It'd be dozens.
Two or three. Some articles have actually been looking into what you can buy with $1 trillion. Like, according to CNN, you could buy every single car sold in the United States this year. You could buy 2,000 of Jeff Bezos's yachts, or you could buy Switzerland.
Really? Yeah. Well, what do you do once you've got it?
Switzerland.
Yeah, what do you do with that?
I'm not sure, but GDP is $900 billion. So they're saying, not that it's for sale, it's definitely not, but potentially, if you had that much money,
little holiday country.
Could be an offer you could make. I guess there's this other argument that what is happening with Tesla could help the environment. Like, if we're getting mainstream cars off the roads, we're replacing them with electric vehicles. We know transport accounts for around a fifth of global carbon dioxide emissions. 10% of global emissions come from personal vehicles. We're talking a lot about emissions this week, Elfie.
Brother, no.
You're not convincing me.
There are other electric vehicle companies that don't have a trillionaire at their helm. Okay. And, like, I don't know. You talk about what you can buy with $1 trillion. You can buy, like, democracy, basically, is the only thing, right? Like, that's all he's looking to do.
We've got someone on the text line now who said, if I had $1 trillion, I'd want to make $1 trillion. Okay. So someone's response there. Another person says, 1 billion is already a mind-boggling number that is hard to perceive. $1 trillion would be obscene. Did you see, Elfie, the comments from Billie Eilish recently when she was saying, if you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire? What did you think of that?
Yes, I love that. I really love those stories of billionaires just, like, pouring wealth out into organizations. Like, I think, was it Jeff Bezos's ex-wife, Mackenzie Scott? Yeah, who gave, like, a historically large donation to a black university this week.
Okay.
I feel like stuff like that is just, like, very admirable, and I'd love to see more of it. And we should talk about that more so that billionaires feel compelled to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of coverage of the Billie Eilish comments, Perry, but other people were like, oh, Billie Eilish is rich as well, so it doesn't really matter. But I think Billie Eilish has also donated quite a bit, a proportion of their money to charitable organisations and such. Do you think it's fair that people are asking about the status of billionaires and whether they should be taxed more, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. I think that, like, when it comes to a society, if you've got a billionaire, it's a failure of a society. It shouldn't be allowed to happen because it proves that your tax system has failed. It's almost like homeless people should also not really exist because it's proof that your welfare state has failed, and they're sort of related. I think that it's a horrible disparity in wealth that shows we're doing something wrong.
We did have a few comments like that coming through on Hack's Instagram earlier today, people saying, oh, I just feel like this does show that we failed as a society if we've allowed this to happen. We've got Sam on the text line now who says he's already got enough to end world hunger. Why doesn't he just do that? Someone else says a person with $1 trillion could do a lot of good globally. Unfortunately, that person is not Elon Musk. Someone else, $1 trillion, and I bet he'll still pay bugger all tax. And someone else says, yeah, $1 billion, mind-boggling amount of money. Any idea or guess who the next trillionaire could be, Elfie?
Dave Marchese of Triple J's Hack program, I assume.
Yes.
My cousin.
Oh, yes. Cousin. Yeah, now he's really pulling out the cousin card. He's like, oh, we're related.
Australia is the most expensive country in the world to be a smoker.
On Triple J.
Should we make cigarettes cheaper? Wild idea. But it's a question that was asked this week. The price of cigarettes has been going up over the years to try and discourage people from smoking. But then illegal ciggies took over and people are buying those instead. And it's led to this boom in the illegal tobacco criminal market, and news out this week revealing that is now worth billions of dollars a year. So what is the answer here? What can authorities do to crack down? Is the answer to make legal tobacco more tempting? Sounds messed up, but I'm keen to hear your thoughts on this. Hit the text line 0439757555. We've got a lot of people on Hack's Instagram messaging in. Someone saying, why would we pay the full price? Is someone there? Another person saying, of course people are going to be doing this, buying illegal cigarettes. And someone else says, I wish I didn't have to, but I can't afford legal ciggies. All right, this is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the news of the week with Sydney Morning Herald crime reporter Perry Duffin and journalist Elfie Scott. Perry, I feel like you know quite a bit about this kind of stuff. How big of a nightmare is this illegal tobacco trade at the moment?
It's massive for a few reasons. I mean, it's firstly, they're opening up on every single corner in Sydney, and honestly, in the suburbs everywhere around New South Wales, you will see dozens of smoke shops just filling in blank stores.
And other states too, there are massive issues in terms of tobacco wars, and we know firebombings and stuff, but you know, you cover New South Wales, Sydney, and it's a massive problem in that city.
Yeah, I've seen it everywhere that I've been in the country. And, you know, organised crime benefits massively off it because they are the ones who are willing to do the imports. They're actually killing each other in order to get control of the market. It's every bit as responsible for all the shootings you hear about on the news as cocaine or any other drug.
Yeah, wow. I mean, and they're saying it's worth $4 billion a year, but that figure doesn't include vapes and stuff like that either. So there's an idea that that's a massive underestimation of just how big the problem is.
It's impossible to even quantify. And, you know, in New South Wales, we don't even have enough inspectors to go in and check all the stores, and the councils don't even know where they are. We don't have a list of them. We don't know even how many stores there are.
Yeah. Elfie, has it surprised you just how quickly illicit tobacco ciggies have kind of crept up and are now just such a thing around, you know, when you're out and about and you see them and people are like, I heard someone saying, oh, people have started like offering cigarettes for free now again because they can afford to because they're buying the illegal ones. Has that surprised you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've seen a bit of it, but then I also think that just like the normalization of smoking again has knocked me for a loop as well. Because I feel like
not just vaping, like you're not talking,
just vaping and not just illegal cigarettes, but just smoking generally has seemed to come back in vogue a little bit. I don't know if I'm imagining that, but it feels like a lot of younger people are just smoking cigarettes again when I don't think that we were necessarily doing that.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been some changes over the years. We spoke with an expert from the University of Sydney earlier this week who said, look, we have to be really careful when we're talking about this stuff because we need to base everything on hard data. And at this stage, the hard data doesn't show that there's been this massive spike in smoking with young people in terms of cigarettes, but they're still collecting the data. And anecdotally, that is absolutely what we're hearing from people who are out and about and buying them themselves or their friends are buying them. Got messages on the text line. Someone says, yes, make cigarettes cheaper. Is that person? I'm imagining a smoker saying that. Someone else says, if the government wants people to stop smoking, they should focus on why people start and why they continue. And another person says, I think if you buy cigarettes, you should lose access to Medicare. You're a cost to the community by choice and smoking is causing harm to all of us. Right, okay, that is a very intense kind of point of view there. I don't know how much support there would be for that idea. I'm wondering about this idea, though, Perry, about making cigarettes cheaper, like legal cigarettes. That does seem like a crazy idea, like when you just see the headline like that.
Yeah, I don't really understand how it would help us as a society to do that. The reality is that we got smoking down to sort of like record low levels, and the vape technology has just been so easy to import and circumvent and sell. There are so many levers we haven't even tried to pull yet. Like, we haven't put on enough inspectors to go and check these stores. I went into 5 stores in my single suburb and bought 5 vapes, named every store in the newspaper, and there was no inspection that followed.
You wrote about the stores that you bought the vapes.
I pictured them. I pictured every vape that I bought, and no one followed it up because there is no one to follow it up. So there's a lot of things we can do before we start talking about excise changes and taxes and things like that. Like, how about we actually police the market even a little bit?
Do you think authorities are like really grappling with how they can get the resources to keep up with compliance and stuff like that? Like, that's one of the headaches for police bosses.
Yeah, so police have been, they really don't want to do it. They don't want it to become their job. It's right now in New South Wales, it's the health department, and I don't know about other states, but they want it to remain the health department's job because they want to focus on things like murders and domestic violence and organised crime, whereas the health department should follow up cigarettes, but there's just not enough people working in the health department to follow it up. So as a result, you could open a smoke shop tomorrow and no one will check.
That's so interesting. I mean, we're hearing other stories in the news about how to combat smoking. Elfie, I don't know whether you saw this story, but the Maldives have brought in this rule, this law, that anyone born after January 1st, 2007 can't ever buy tobacco. There was something similar that was put forward in New Zealand a few years ago, and before it actually got enacted, it got overturned by a new government. But do you think we could be seeing more action like that from governments, like just putting blanket bans on young people from smoking altogether? Do you think that could work?
Yeah, I mean, I have heard about other nations proposing this as well, and I think it's a really interesting idea, and like, obviously, I think that has a net good. Whether or not it actually works and is enforceable is another story, I guess.
Yeah, we've got a lot of messages coming through on this. Someone says maybe sniffer dogs can be retrained to sniff out illegal tobacco. Someone else says my mum was forced to quit smoking because she was spending her whole pension on cigarettes, so I'm glad they're expensive. Yeah, a pack of 20 cigarettes costs like $40, I think, and out of that, about 70% of the price is the excise, the tax that's whacked on that. So it's definitely had an impact over the years, but the issue is these illegal cigarettes are, what, half the price, Perry, probably? Like,
yeah, I think they're even less than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason that the government wants to funnel people back to legal tobacco is that the taxes that come from them are massive and are used to subsidise our hospitals, which actually treat people for smoking illnesses, which are hugely expensive, long-term illnesses. Whereas illegal tobacco, none of that is taxed, so the hospitals are just losing money but they're not losing patients.
Yeah, exactly. So those patients are still continuing to pour through hospital rooms. We've got some more messages on the text line. Someone says the big problem here is addiction. Another person says they banned vapes. What did the government think was going to happen? Well, I don't know. The vape ban, do we think that's worked successfully? Elfie, are you still seeing people vape from time to time?
I don't know. I'm not cool enough to be out around people vaping. They don't show me.
Like, not around me, not around me. I mean, Perry's out there buying them and writing stories about it. So, yeah, all in the name of work. Someone else says, why isn't alcohol also made more expensive? Everyone always says that. As soon as we talk about smoking, they're like, what about alcohol? What about alcohol? Another person says, I think this was Big Tobacco's plan all along. And someone else says, trying to make smokers pay the full amount for darts is obviously going to fail. Look at the rise of organised crime in the years of prohibition. The exact same thing is going to happen. Governments restrict, organised crime increases. Yeah, Perry, do you feel like that in terms of the gang-related stuff, that is just going to continue to explode? We're going to see more and more gang activity related to this illegal tobacco market?
Absolutely, because one of the issues is you import tobacco, and if you get caught with it, you're not going to do like 30 years prison. If you import cocaine, you are going to do 30 years prison. Mm. And so if you import tobacco, you might like make slightly less money, but you'll still make a shitload of money. Mm. And it's better to just make the money and not go to prison for too long. And it's like, look on every street corner. There is a shop. It's a huge market.
Yeah, it's a huge issue. Someone here, I'm a police officer and we don't even have enough staff to man a watch house and respond, let alone crack down on cigarettes. It's a police officer there. Another person says, yeah, prohibition didn't work with alcohol. People just made their own. Taxing smokers will not work.
Hack. We provide no benefit. We are no longer the priority. In fact, we're probably a burden to them.
On Triple J. Who is the arbiter of what is in and what is out, what is cool and what is definitely not? It is not me, surprisingly. Perry thinking maybe it's him. Elfie thinking maybe it's her. I don't know. It could be the writer of a Vogue piece recently who declared having a boyfriend is embarrassing. And it really just set the internet on fire. So what do you think? Is that true?
Hack. It is embarrassing to have a boyfriend.
A question that has divided the internet and has got the girlies fighting.
They're calling out the weird-ass pygmies that make having a boyfriend their whole personality.
Maybe boyfriends aren't the trend. Self-respect is.
The fact that this even had to be written is a clear wake-up call for men.
That article is just women hating women.
Articles like these do nothing more than reassure and support the emotions of people who can't create happy relationships.
Our generation is so afraid of looking like a fool that you literally don't allow yourself to live.
On Triple J. Yeah, I want to know what you think of this. Single people first. Are you celebrating this news that having a boyfriend, but maybe we broaden it out, having been in a relationship is a little bit cringe at the moment? And also, if you are in a relationship, also want to hear from you. Do you post about it much? Are you a little bit embarrassed? Maybe lately you just hide it a little bit. Why are you doing that? Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in to 0439 757 555. We're already hearing from people on the text line. Someone says, relationships are outdated. Freedom is number one. In caps. Yes. People are very passionate. Another person says, if you have a problem with a celebrity because they're in a relationship, that means that you are in a parasocial relationship with them. Okay, interesting point. We also have people messaging in about our earlier point, Perry, regarding ginger Italians. Someone says, Dave and Perry, my boyfriend is a ginger Italian.
Molto bene. Molto bene. Our recessive brother.
Perfetto. Perfetto. grazie. We could also be related. Another cousin we have found on the shake-up this afternoon. Right, this is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese with my cousin, Perry Duffin, and also journalist Elfie Scott. Could be a cousin too. Haven't checked it out. Elfie, cool or uncool to be in a relationship or to have a boyfriend more specifically? And please note your biases if you have any.
I have a boyfriend, so it's going to make me biased, but I think I think he's more embarrassed of me than I am of him. So I know where that leaves me in this conversation.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you see this piece? Did you read it or have you heard about it?
I've like vaguely seen it. I've seen a couple of TikToks and I feel like, I don't know, I think that maybe people just want to look to celebrate being single as well, which I think is totally valid. And I think that being single can have these kind of like miserable societal implications. And if people want to celebrate that and not being tied down in a relationship, all for them.
Yeah, do you think for a long time there has been all this social capital tied to being in a relationship, and now there are some people out there saying, no, we're going to reverse this and we're going to hold the power a little bit?
Yeah, single people, empower yourselves. Good for you. I think that's fun.
Perry, as a boyfriend, please defend your type.
There's nothing defensible there.
He's like, all good, let's wrap it up, let's wrap it up.
No, I think that, you know, I tell everyone that I've got a girlfriend because it makes people think at least someone could put up with him.
You worked so hard for it, Perry.
I know, I did. I'm not going to let anyone forget. Yeah, I got a girlfriend. No big deal. I don't know. I assume that it's just, I mean, every guy I know has always had like quite a good time being single. Maybe it's just women enjoying being single as well, and writing about it. Isn't that fair enough?
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, that's the question we're asking. We've got people on the text line now. Someone says, love is cringe when you really think about it.
I actually don't disagree with you.
You don't disagree? Why?
Why is pretty cringe?
Why is love cringe?
Ooh, I don't know. Embarrassing, isn't it?
On the text line as well, someone says, relationship anarchy is in. And another person says, what is really embarrassing is caring too much about what other people think about you. Who really cares what others think about your private lives? Could that be part of this as well, the phenomenon that we've spoken about before, Elfie, of cringe culture and people being too scared to do anything or say anything for fear of being cringe?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that plays a part here. I also think it's just like, oh, it's just one of those tired social media things. Like, this will be gone in like 2 to 3 hours probably, won't it?
Yeah, well, there's actually another article which I'm going to get to in a second. But first, let's hear from some of Hack's audience. This is what Mim had to say.
I think this whole narrative speaks to a revolt against heteronormativity. It celebrates differences being beautiful. It celebrates queerness being beautiful, heteronormativity, traditional gender roles being outdated, embarrassed, and needing to shift more broadly in society.
Okay, there's Mim's point of view there. Here's Elijah.
As someone who's trying to be a boyfriend, I hope not. I hope she's as happy and proud to be with me as I would be happy and proud to be with her if we get together.
That is the nicest message I've ever heard.
Elijah on the worksite there, hoping to be in a relationship. He's trying to make it happen. I would love an update, Elijah. If it does successfully happen, please let us know. We've also got Em, who's hit us up on Instagram.
There is absolutely nothing to be embarrassed about. In fact, I think I'm quite lucky that I get to have someone as special as him that I get to call my partner and I get to do life with.
Oh, that's really nice. Sweet. Or as Elfie would call it, cringe.
Don't throw me under the bus.
We're hearing from other people on the text line. Someone says, I reckon this kind of narrative could actually lead to more loneliness. Okay, that's interesting. People fearing being seen to be in a relationship, having a boyfriend, staying lonely. Another person says, we used to post about our relationship when it was new and exciting. Nowadays we don't, and we're not hiding. The world just doesn't need to know. And someone else says, being in a relationship is absolutely cringe. I refuse to talk about my girlfriend at work or with other friends. Big cringe in 2025. Yeah, strong thoughts there from anonymous messenger and someone else. Lol, single people keeping people single. Okay. Wow. Another article I did see this week was talking about whether having too many followers was also uncool, Elfie. It was saying it's now cool to have no followers at all.
You're pointing at me like I'm guilty of this. I don't have that many followers. I think I'm pretty cool.
You're an influencer. You're an influencer. So what do you think of this?
I don't influence anybody, Dave. Are you serious?
Do you think that there has been a bit of a shift, though, in terms of how people see those online, that maybe there's less trust if you see someone with a massive following, if they're a super influencer? I'm talking about people with like
definitely
a million. Yeah.
Like, you know what I think? Whenever I see like people who have like 200,000 followers on YouTube or whatever and just like travel blog, I'm like, you are in a prison of your own making. I always think that now.
Yeah. Are you, Perry, more likely to not follow someone if they've got a massive following? Like, they've been accounts that I've followed that I've loved, and then when they've started to grow
grow and blow up and everyone's following them, I'm like, oh, the content doesn't hit with me as much as it did before and maybe I'm unfollowing.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I unfollowed Elon for the same reason.
When he was a multi-billionaire and no one had heard of him, I thought, yeah, this guy gets it.
No, I think it's right that, like, at some point you become a brand, right? And, like, I don't know what the number of followers is. It's 50,000. But anything above that is like, oh, you actually have an obligation to, like, your shareholders now. Like, you're not a real person online. You can't be.
Lucky we're all micro-influencers or nano even. Nano-influencers, that's us. That's all for the shake-up for now. It's gone so quickly. Big thanks to our guests, Elfie Scott. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Dave.
And Perry Duffin. Appreciate you as always.
Thanks, cuz.
And the hard-working Hack crew, executive producer Stephen Smiley, our radio producers Angel Parsons, Eva Blakemore, and all of the Hack reporters as well. I'm going to be back after the weekend.
Hack.